The UN Secretary General calls for international leadership to tackle what he calls a mind-numbing COVID-19 milestone. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. More than 1 million people are now known to have died from the coronavirus. India has the second highest number of cases globally, but also the highest recovery rate in the world. The government there is continuing to ease movement restrictions in an attempt to revive the economy. Next month, the state of Maharashtra, which is the hardest hit by the virus and includes the financial capital of Mumbai, will allow restaurants and bars to reopen. But will there be anyone to fill them up? As the BBC's Nikhil Anamda reports, India has seen a big migration of white-collar workers leaving the city for their hometowns.
Software app developer Manav Bharti's morning office routine is accompanied by the sounds of running streams and gentle breeze, not the noise and bustle of city traffic. Like many others, he's been working from home during the pandemic, and he took advantage of that flexibility to leave the city of Chandigarh and hire a quaint homestay in the Teerthan Valley, the getaway to the Great Himalayan National Park.
Now I'm really enjoying it. Whenever I get stressed out, I just go to the riverside or I work there. It's really calm here. I can do much more work than I usually used to do.
Manav's homestay is part of an initiative called Work from the Mountains, started by travel entrepreneur Prashant Mathavan.
We are setting up this homestay, then Work from Mountain option.
Mathavan says the idea was to connect owners of idle mountain homestays across India with urban professionals pining for extended getaways in the Himalayas with good digital connectivity.
The whole idea was to give people a break from the last 5 months of being caught up in their houses. More and more people would want to work from the mountains, from the beaches, instead of just being in the office.
Not everyone has the luxury to afford a long Himalayan getaway. But with flexible work-from-home policies and deep penetration of cheap data in small towns, an estimated 10 to 20% of urban white-collar workers across India have chosen to leave crowded, polluted cities to move back to their native towns, according to migration experts. Like tech entrepreneur Abhishek Latte, who packed up his Bangalore-based startup and moved back home to Belgaum, a pensioner's paradise in southern India. It was an opportunity to live in close proximity to nature and be near his parents. Almost all his 40 employees agreed to relocate too. Abhishek says the move allowed him to cut costs by up to 50%.
We have much lesser operating costs, be it in terms of salaries or rents, or other overheads. No one in the company commutes more than 10 minutes per day to come to the office.
In the last 50 years, India saw an exodus of educated people migrating from small towns to the big city in search of opportunity. But aided by technology, the pandemic could well mark the reversal of that trend, at least for some time. I'm the BBC's Nikhil Anamda from Marketplace.
Well, as working life continues to shift for many during this pandemic, the World Bank is warning developing countries in East Asia and the Pacific region are likely to see poverty rise for the first time in 20 years. The BBC's Andrew Walker has that story.
The World Bank's economists say the pandemic has delivered a triple shock to East Asia and the Pacific: the health impact, the containment measures, and the global recession it has caused. The developing countries of the region are likely to experience some growth this year, but it's largely due to China and Vietnam. Most other economies are shrinking in 2020, according to the report, by more than 20% in the case of Fiji. Across the region, the bank says 5 million people will be pushed back into poverty. It says another 33 million would have escaped poverty this year had it not been for the pandemic. In some countries, the report says, successful containment of the disease is leading to an economic revival. China is an example. International trade in the region will see a rebound, although tourism is unlikely to recover soon. The bank does expect growth across East Asia and the Pacific in 2021, but economic activity in the next 2 years is likely to remain well below what was expected before the pandemic.
The BBC's Andrew Walker reporting there. Checking the numbers now, stocks in Asia were broadly mixed, while European benchmarks are down between 0.4% and 0.7% this morning. The U.S. dollar has drifted from a two-month high, while U.S. stock futures are pointing to a lower open on Wall Street. A battle is brewing between Facebook and the Philippines President Rodrigo Duterte. In a late-night press conference, Mr. Duterte challenged the social media giant's decision to take down hundreds of accounts last week linked to the nation's police and military. Facebook at the time said the networks, which originated in China and the Philippines, violated policy on foreign or government interference and engaged in coordinated, inauthentic behavior. The BBC's Howard Johnson has more from Manila.
President Duterte used his weekly address to the nation to urge Facebook to listen to him. "We allow you to operate here hoping that you could help us also," he said, challenging the company's decision to take down inauthentic accounts promoting the president and his policies. Mr. Duterte questioned the company's purpose in his country if the government couldn't use the platform to promote its ideas. Journalists, human rights defenders, and politicians here have all reported receiving abuse by shadowy Facebook accounts for criticizing Mr. Duterte's government. The company is yet to respond to the president's latest comments.
Howard Johnson there. Finally, members of the K-pop band BTS are about to become multimillionaires. Their record label Big Hit Entertainment will make its stock market debut in South Korea next month with a valuation just north of $4 billion. It's the biggest IPO there in nearly 3 years, and demand is 1,000 times higher than the amount of stock available. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
"What is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?"
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.